The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents'. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA and SIPC.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planning professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. Have you sneezed yet today? Man, the pollen is everywhere, isn't it? I was hoping I was going to make it into the studio today without my eyes running and my throat getting scratchy. It's like we have yellow rain everywhere. Doesn't matter how much you try to wash it off outside these days, it just keeps coming back. But hope you're enjoying the beginning to our summer here in New England. And welcome, of course, to joining our radio show called Dollars and Cents. And we provide this each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m., providing financial advice in a language you can understand. I'm here in studio by myself today. Marion is doing something fun, I hope. And I'm here to just kind of bring you up to date on what's been going on. Man, it's been a bit of a wild couple months, or wild few months, actually, in 2022. The market has had a bit of a pullback. We saw the S&P almost pull back almost 20% as the year has begun. And here we are in mid part of June. But we are starting to see some what you would call green shoots, some signs of improvement. We're also seeing finally, if you got your May statement, perhaps you notice that if you have a well-balanced portfolio, perhaps you notice that the account didn't go down so dramatically as it might have done in the months prior. Perhaps you saw maybe flat performance, maybe you were up a little, maybe you were even down a little bit, but it was nothing as dramatic as you've seen in the months that have preceded it. Many people have been asking, Mark, your phone must be ringing off the hook with what's been going on in the markets these days. And honestly, folks, it hasn't. But what's interesting is that the calls that we have received are from people who engaged our firm as a financial planning firm within the past 12 months. And the reason for that is many of our clients, as you well know, have been with us some as far back as 1968 when Dad started the firm, but certainly 5, 10, 15, 20 years or even more than that with us. Those clients have been through the ups and downs. They've been through 9/11. They've been through the credit crisis of 2008, 2009. They've been through elections. And of course, they've been through coronavirus back in March of 2020. And while the first 5 or 6 months of this year feel a little disconcerting because there's a lot of uncertainty out there, the fact that the market is down where it is should not be raising much concern, I don't think, to people who have a well-balanced portfolio. But if it's your first time investing, if it's the first time you've taken money out of the bank, a first time you received an inheritance and you said, okay, the market looked so good before, I want to put this money to work, and you had this expectation that markets only go up, you've been in for a bit of a surprise. And so I want to try to talk to that group of people, the group of people that have invested over the past 12 months for the first time. And there's a lot of lessons to be learned that despite the fact that you heard from people giving you advice, you simply didn't want to listen because it seemed like all you did was miss out on great performance over the past 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. And all you heard was, even though the market went down, it would go back up pretty quickly. But you haven't felt that yet if you're a new investor. You know, some people raced out to go buy these things called cryptocurrencies. Now, we don't really talk about that much on this radio show, frankly, because I don't think there's enough good information, intelligent information, for the average rational person to really wrap their mind around to understand why things go up and why things go down, certainly in the cryptocurrency market. There are other shows you can listen to. In fact, Dana McIntyre, who does did the Dana Crypto Show. You can find that. It used to be able to find it here on North Shore 104.9. It's now available on podcast. You can go check him out if you want. If you want to listen and learn, he's an intelligent guy and he provides a lot of information. But you won't find that here. Nor will you find information from me on why you should be buying a particular individual stock. Whether it's a growth company, whether it's a technology company, whether it's an energy company, or just a consumer staples company. This is not the show where we make recommendations on buying individual stocks. Just like Cramer on CNBC has his symbols of buy, 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 or sell, sell, sell. We're not going to do that because at the end of the day, investing is not about a quick rate of return. If you want to get a quick return on your money, there's two things you can do. Number one, you can go to your local convenience store and buy scratch tickets. Now, am I condoning you to do that? No. Am I suggesting that you do that? Absolutely not. But if that's what you're looking for, a quick fix with hopes that you could make money very quickly, scratch ticket may be the solution you're looking for. The other, and it's available in most states these days, is your local casino. Go put money down on red or black, or go play the roulette wheel, or go to the blackjack table. But that's not investing. That's called speculation. When we talk about investing for the long term and preparing for your financial future, there needs to be a calculated, rational approach. And before we invest a single dollar, it's important that when you're making decisions, you're making those decisions based upon knowing where everything is and what everything is worth. And I think the temptation, and this is what happens, the temptation of many investors to try to get rich quick or find the next Tesla or the next Apple or the next Microsoft or whatever it is so tempting that people are willing to put all caution aside and take the risks. Because if you look back historically over the past few years, it seems like markets and investments went in one direction. And we all know rational investors, rational planners, rational individuals know that life does not move in one direction. Look, another area where we begin to wonder whether this is a continued direction is the housing market. Look at houses. Go to Zillow and take a look at how they continue to change the price on your home or a residence that you're looking at. And the prices that people are getting for homes is, in my opinion, in today's world, outrageous. And what's happening is with interest rates moving up so quickly over the past 6 months, the buyer is now becoming a bit surprised about how much more that mortgage payment is going to be. And if interest rates continue to go up, there's no way that a housing price, a housing value, can continue to increase at such exponential levels, and for you to expect that there will be enough of a pool of buyers out there to take that home, to take that property off your hands when it's time for you to go somewhere else. I caution people who are buying houses these days to be careful. And I know it's intimidating because you go and you find a house that you love and you see the price and you say, well, I guess I got to put in an offer higher than what they're even asking. And if I really want this house, I have to waive the inspection. I have to pay a premium on the price that they're offering. I have to come to this purchase as a cash buyer. You're putting yourself at a tremendous amount of risk in a world where risk may not be something that you're ready to accept right now. How does the risks that you take impact the other aspects of your financial life? It's a little frustrating because you know from a rational perspective you shouldn't be doing it, but you feel sometimes as if I don't do this now, I might be missing out on something great. So how do you stay rational during emotional times? Well, at Friedman Financial, that's what we take great pride in. And we've been doing this, at least I've been doing it, since 1991. So almost approaching my 32nd year in this business. My father started the business back in 1968. And he taught me a lot. I learned from him. We've learned from mistakes along the way as well. Look, when we first had our first big downturn in, whether it was during the 9/11 crisis or during the financial crisis of 2008-2009, we learned a lot in that process. And because of what we've learned, we've tried to insulate ourselves from seeing those same mistakes happen again for our clients. And one of the things that we really work hard on, especially for our clients who are approaching retirement and or who are in retirement, is to build an investment strategy around a much larger financial plan that is protected, not guaranteed, but has some level of protection, cushions, guardrails, whatever the right term is you want to use, so that if the markets do go down, you're still able to take the income that you want to support your lifestyle. So think about this, for example. Let's say you want to spend $10,000 in retirement. Now, you might say, $10,000, Mark, that's a lot of money. Well, for some, that is a lot of money. For others, it's $10,000. I spend $20,000 or $30,000 a month. Really? There is no right answer. We have clients that spend $2,000 a month in retirement, and they can't figure out how anybody could possibly spend $3,000. So let's think about this. When I say spend money, am I just talking about spending money from your investment account? Or am I talking about spending money from all of the sources that come into your life, whether it's Social Security, pension, using dividends or distributions you might get from your IRA or investment accounts? Maybe it's part-time employment. Maybe it's an inheritance or some trust income that you get. How do you decide what it is that you're really spending money on? See, I had someone that came in a couple weeks ago and told me that their spending money is $3,000 a month. And I said, wow, okay, $3,000 a month. But they bring in an income into their house, $13,000 a month. And so I figured, well, if you're bringing in $13,000 a month and you're only spending $3,000 a month, well, you can do the math. That would mean that you're probably saving close to $10,000 a month. Pretty nice deal if you're able to do it. But sadly, when I went to look at their bank account, there was next to no money in the bank account. When I looked at their retirement account, there was next to no money in the retirement account. So I'm thinking to myself, how do you earn $13,000, take home $13,000, spend, as you say in your paper, of $3,000, but not able to account for the other $10,000? And so we talked that through. And this gentleman says to me, well, I spend $3,000. Those are my fixed expenses. Well, yes, fixed expenses are nice. Fixed expenses meaning electric, gas, cable bill, things that come into the bills that are getting in the house, maybe even a mortgage. Actually, in this case, this person didn't have a mortgage. Property tax bill. These are my expenses. I said, but you eat, don't you? Yes. You buy gas for your car, right? You buy clothing, of course. He says to me, but those aren't really my fixed expenses. Those are my fun expenses. Well, when I talk about how much you spend every month, I'm not divvying it up just yet into what is fixed expenses and what is fun expenses. It's all the expenses. What do you need to spend? Because until you can wrap your head around what that is, it's very difficult to create a plan, to create a strategy that allows you to fill your life with the income that you need in retirement, that allows you to give yourself the comfort that at 65 or 75 years old, that there's money that will last you until your 100th birthday. Look, it amazes me that many software systems, you can get some of the free stuff that's out there. Look, you can go to Fidelity or go to Schwab or go to some of these other places that will allow you to put in a retirement calculator to say how long your money will last. Well, did you know that many of those retirement calculators make the assumption that you're going to live to 85 or 90? Folks, the likelihood of you living to 100 or well late into your 90s is very real, and you need to be prepared for that. You need to be prepared to live far longer than your parents, far, far longer than your grandparents, and far, far, far longer than your great, great, great grandparents. Are you ready to do it? Are you ready to take the advice that you really need to hear from people who want to be rational and give you the proper guidance? If you do, you've landed at the right spot. This is Dollars and Cents, where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand, and we'll be right back with ideas to help you ignite your retirement plan. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial right here on North Shore 104.9. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Restaurante on 41 Cross Street in Peabody. Hope you're doing well this morning. If you're listening to this radio show and you're saying, geez, Mark seems a bit more melancholy or calm today. I think it's the pollen, to tell you the truth. I'm missing that burst of energy that you kind of have after a couple of cups of coffee in the morning and a lot of enthusiasm. We kind of live in this cloud right now. It's been kind of strange with all this pollen that floats around, but it does make you become a little bit more reflective. And one of the things that we've been talking about are ways to ignite your retirement plan, how to be a bit more thoughtful on how we approach our financial future. But also, we got to get rid of some of this miserableness in the world. We all carry this burden right now. We all seem to be a little miserable. I keep getting calls from people saying, what's going on in this country? The country's in tough shape. This is bad. This is horrible. What are we going to do? The reason that my account is down is maybe it's because of the president, because of our Congress. Maybe it's because of the CEOs of the company. It could be because of whatever it could be. Everyone's got a reason as to why things aren't going so well. And all of a sudden it occurred to me that perhaps the reason that we're all a little bit miserable is that we find it a lot easier to place blame on things we can't control, and we continue to ignore where the blame should be placed. And that blame might be placed on the people who look back at us in the mirror every day. What? Mark, are you suggesting that I am to blame for this miserableness? Well, I think we're all to blame as to where we are in this society right now. We've created an environment that, if you're certainly 40 or 50 years old or older, we've created an environment of millennials that is our own doing, and we can't really blame it on them. Yet we get miserable at them. And then the millennials, they get blame us, the boomers or the older folks. But I think we need to stop first and say, how are we to blame? So let me ask you something. Do you have kids? Do you have kids that are in their teens, maybe their 20s, even in their 30s? I'm going to ask you, how many of those kids that you know in their 20s and 30s or even their teens use DoorDash? How many of them rely on Uber Eats? How many of them go use Ticketmaster to buy tickets rather than walking up to the box office? How many of them pay service fees to take money out of an ATM machine? How many of them insist on having services provided to them rather than doing the job themselves? How many of you kids who are millennials know how to change a tire, change the oil in their car, cut the grass, weed the beds, shovel the driveway, change the filters on the pool, make their own bed, do their own laundry, cook, iron, use the fuse box if power goes out? They don't do this anymore, do they? Our kids don't know how to, what we call is adult. And why don't they? Do you know why they don't? No, it's not because they're lazy. It's because we created an environment so that they wouldn't have to do that stuff. So that falls on us. It falls on us that our kids are wasting money on service fees, on accommodations, on services that they could very well do on their own. So I find it fascinating all the time when you look to see who's ordering, you know, a Big Mac from McDonald's and having it delivered via DoorDash, and it's costing them $10 with the service fee and the gratuity. Yet, if you walked up to a drive-thru at McDonald's, you get the Big Mac for $3. Or you now go to a Dunkin' Donuts and you get a coffee and a sandwich and you decide, well, I got to put in a tip. Or you're willing to sign off on a tip every time they turn the screen around to you at whether it's Boston Garden or any other place where you get takeout. Since when did it make sense to start tipping and tipping heavily for takeout? Now, I get it, during COVID, there was reasons and rationale to do it. But these people working the counters aren't working for $2.13 an hour or $3.10 an hour like your typical servers, waiters, and waitresses at restaurants are. These people working the counters at Burger King, at McDonald's, at Dunkin' Donuts, at your local pizza joint, they're making minimum wage. They have to make minimum wage. Yet we seem to think it's appropriate to continue to tip them. I know many people don't like to hear that, but I will tell you, the more and more people that are doing the tipping, it's the people under 50, not the people over 50. For whatever reason, they feel like that group is just, it's part of the entitled environment we live in. Yet, what's interesting is just drive around town. I don't care whether you remember at BJ's or remember at Costco. And on a Saturday, there's this line backed up to the highway of people sitting in line to save 20 cents a gallon. 20 cents, and if your car holds 20 gallons, you're basically saving $4. You're probably wasting more gas in the idling time, waiting to fill your tank to save the $4 than you would if you just paid the regular price at a gas station, which would have been a heck of a lot more convenient, because remember, the younger generation is searching for the convenience, but we, the older generation, just take a look at the average age of the person sitting in a car in Costco or at BJ's waiting to save 10 or 20 cents a gallon. Is that the smartest thing to do? Is that the best way to spend your day? Folks, we are to blame. It is not our president. It is not Congress. It is not the millionaires and billionaires who are CEOs of companies. It's not the bosses of the firm we work with. It's us. We've created this monster. We are part of the problem. And until we change and say we are going to take on some of these tasks ourselves, we are not going to continue to pay for convenience, we create the problem. In fact, someone was in my office 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I was talking with them saying, you know, right now, they said, well, you know, unemployment is people can't find, there are businesses that are out there, people can't find employees. I said, wait a second. There are two jobs for every one person looking for work right now. That's in every industry. You want to get a job. I'm sorry, if you graduated from college the past couple of weeks and you've come home to say, Mom and Dad, I don't have a job, I would lock the doors to your house and say, do not return to this house until you have obtained a job. There is no excuse for any college graduate, certainly someone to whom you've laid out hundreds of thousands of dollars for a college education, for them to come home and say, I couldn't find anything. Get the heck out of the house and go find a job. But the people that came to my office a couple weeks ago, Mark, they said, Mark, it's very easy to understand the problem as to why there's two jobs for every one person trying to look. He says, most Americans don't want those jobs. What are you talking about? What do you mean they don't want those jobs? They said, oh, the people who need to take those jobs are the immigrants that are coming into this country. And I'm shaking my head thinking, we are not employing our own citizens here in this America. In this country, so that immigrants can take on the service jobs that an American is too privileged to take on, like laying bricks or landscaping or working in the service industry in a hotel or working as a busboy or a dishwasher or some of the incredibly important jobs that we need to fill to allow our society to operate. We should be saving those jobs for immigrants because it's beneath us, for us as Americans, to do that. That's part of who we are as Americans. If we're not encouraging our kids, or even some of us who might be older, who are down on our luck and need to find a job, to say, you know what? I need to provide for my family. And if it means doing a job that requires a little bit extra effort and labor, and maybe it's a bit monotonous to work the line or whatever else it might be, you do that. Because that's what you would have done generations before, wouldn't it? But no. Here we are this past Saturday and Sunday, this past weekend. Beautiful weather outside. And how many people did you see outside? How many people did you see outside on their bikes? Outside in the yard? No. I go inside. I'm looking for my kids to come outside and even just hang out in the backyard with me. No, they're playing a video game. They're watching a movie. They're doing something on their computer. It's beautiful weather. I know. Certainly for me, when I was a kid, my parents would say, get the heck out of the house. Don't come back. I don't care if you sit there and count the worms in the dirt. You're going to get outside. And if you're thirsty, turn on the hose and drink from it. What have we become? What has this country and our society become? We've become a bunch of sissies. And our kids are even worse. And we, folks, and I'm sorry if I'm making you feel bad, I'm included in this group. We are to blame. You know, sure, we can be ticked off at the president that gas prices are so high. You can be ticked off at Congress for not taking action on whether it's gun laws, abortion, whatever is the issue of the day that you want to talk about. But day-to-day society, we are a bunch of sissies. And if we're not willing to take that responsibility on our own, to encourage our kids to step up, to take responsibility, to get a job and work hard at it, not look to be the first one out when someone says, who wants to go? It's a little slow here. We need to do that. We need to step up, because when we start doing that, we take accountability for our own life. We take responsibility for our own finances. We make sure that we know how much we need to spend every month, every year, every quarter to support our lives in retirement. Folks, it's time to take accountability. And I want to be here to help you become accountable. I want to help you find that accountability. I want you to walk in every day to your house, to your life, to your job and say, I am doing this for a reason. I have a purpose. I have a goal. I want to make sure that I never have to work, perhaps, after 65, that I have enough income, that I have enough resources so that I can do what I want, that I can make sure that I've given my children the skills, the understanding to be held accountable, to be thoughtful, to not be so damn lazy. We owe it to ourselves to hold ourselves accountable, and pointing the blame somewhere else needs to get tossed out the window. It's not somebody else's problem. Folks, we need to control what we can control and stop worrying about the stuff we can't control. And when we get back, I'm going to give you some of those skills to ignite those skills, to get your retirement plan in motion, to start acting responsibly, to be ready for the next phase of your life, because greatness is in front of you. An unbelievable retirement is out there for you. In fact, so many of our clients, so many people that we see, have the ability to spend more money than they have to, or than they even know how to. But they need to have the truth harnessed. They need to know what their life looks like, their financial life looks like, and how they can be an active participant in finding success. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 1049. Go on, take the money and run. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents'. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, and SIPC.
Money, 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 money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. Oh, man, I've been on a rant today. I mean, the second segment, I'm sure I'll get some emails and calls from folks saying, Mark, what was that all about? You just went on a rant. I'm sorry. Perhaps it's the pollen. Perhaps it's just some frustration that I'm sharing with you over the phone. But you know what? I like to say it like it is. I am not about the political correctness that everybody insists we all need to have as we speak and we talk. I want to share what is on my mind because, you know, folks, radio, our life, TV, it's we have the First Amendment right is the freedom of speech. You should have the right to share how you feel. Not everybody has to believe it. Not after everybody has to embrace what you say. But you should respect the fact that someone is willing to say what's on their mind. Like I said, you don't have to agree with it. But perhaps there's an element of what I say and what others say that we might be spending too much of our time with what's called confirmation bias. We're only looking to listen to the perspectives that we want to hear, and we want to ignore and turn off the perspectives that just make us feel uncomfortable. I'm okay living in the uncomfortable. I hope you are too, because if we just live in a safe space all the time and let somebody else worry about everything else, we will be miserable. We really will. We won't accomplish the things that we want because you know what? We won't even spend time thinking about what it is that we want. And here on Dollars and Cents, I want to give you financial advice in a language that you can understand so that you can prepare yourself for the financial future that you've always envisioned. So let's start with that. Let me ask you a question. When you think about putting together a puzzle, what's the most important piece? Now you might think to yourself, it's the corners, it's the edges, it's the black pieces, the brown pieces, the white pieces, the red pieces, the green pieces, the flowers, whatever you might want to pick. So let me add a little bit more color to that question. When you're thinking about putting together a financial plan, from the perspective of a puzzle, because you're putting together that plan, what is the most important piece? I don't believe it's the corners. I don't believe it's the edges. I don't believe it's the last piece. I don't believe it's the buildings or the flowers or the treetops or the gray pieces or the white pieces or the purple pieces. You know what I believe the most important piece is when putting together a puzzle from the perspective of a financial plan? It's the cover of the box. Think about this. How can you put together your life when you don't have a picture, a big picture, of what your life looks like? All too many of us have focused on our 401k account, our investment account, the inheritance you might receive, the value of your house, the mortgage, the electric bill, the cost of gas, the taxes you're paying. If you look at each of those from an individual perspective, you will get angry, you will get frustrated, and sometimes you might even get elated. But the solution to building a successful financial plan is being able to look at everything in aggregate. We've heard this expression, to be a fiduciary. Oh, someone will ask, the first question they'll ask me, Mark, are you a fiduciary? I've yet to hear anybody say the answer is no. And I will tell you, I am not a fiduciary. I act as a fiduciary. I provide a fiduciary standard. Being a fiduciary is something that an attorney does. And I'm not even sure that they fully understand what it means to act as a fiduciary, but that's a show for another day. The bottom line when you ask about the fiduciary standard is, are you placing the interests of the client first? So I'll ask you this. I want you to think about the relationship that you have with your financial planner, perhaps with your attorney, perhaps anybody who says they hold themselves to a fiduciary standard, meaning that they want to place your interests first. Now, does placing your interests first mean do what you ask them to do, or for them to provide advice and guidance that's thoughtful enough that says, I am really placing your interests first by understanding everything about you? So if someone were to walk up to me and say, Mark, I just inherited $500,000 from my father. He passed away recently. I don't know what to do with it. And I'm coming to you. Can you help me invest the money? Now, sure, any financial advisor can answer that question. Sure, I can help you invest the money. But by answering that question, sure, I can help you invest the money, does that mean I'm acting as a fiduciary? Some will say, well, of course, Mark. I will say absolutely not. Because the truth is, to place your interests first, I need to know everything else about you, especially from a financial perspective. Tell me about where everything else is in your financial life. What do you own? A house? A bank account? Trust account? A joint account? An individual account? Do you have an annuity? Do you have life insurance? Do you have disability insurance? Do you pay taxes? What's your income? What kind of withholdings do you have? Do you have a homeowner's policy, an automobile policy? Do you have an umbrella policy? Do you have a will? Do you have other estate planning documents? And whatever those answers are, especially if they're yes, my job to really place your interest first is to not just go on your word, it's to go on what I see. So if you have that pay stub, the tax return, the IRA, the investment account, I want to see them. I want to see who owns it. I can't tell you how many people tell me that they think they own something, but it's owned a little bit differently than how they think. Now imagine this. What if I knew where all of those things were? How they all were positioned? Who owned it? Who owed money to who? Now, do you think I could give you a better piece of information on how to handle this newfound $500,000 inheritance? You better believe I could. Now can I feel with confidence that I'm holding myself to a fiduciary standard? You better believe I can. But other people that say they are a fiduciary and they just take your money to invest it and they say they're placing your interests first? Come on. Are you really that stupid? Yes, did I just say that? Yes, are you really that stupid to get sucked into that? I think we as Americans, frankly, have become stupid and gullible. And it's our own fault for just being sucked into the headlines that we receive from the social media points that come our way, from the emails that come our way, from the Twitter posts. We get sucked into so many things and afterwards we go, how could have I been so stupid? And it's because we're inundated with information. And we want to get a quick answer or provide a quick solution or get a quick sense of excitement from doing something. When it comes to your money, when it comes to your personal financial life, you owe it to yourself to be responsible. And you owe it to yourself to work with a professional who takes that responsibility seriously. So ask yourself, the professionals that you're working with, are they holding themselves to a fiduciary standard? And if they say yes, ask them to explain what it means to place your interest first. It doesn't mean to do what you tell them to do. Now, granted, that's my opinion. That's my interpretation. But I think it's important that you do this right. Folks, I want to see you become successful. And many people who have just winged it for so long have set themselves up in a way that makes them incredibly successful for the future. And sadly, they don't even know it because they can't wrap their arms around everything that exists. Many investors, many people who think about their financial life have what's called financial paralysis. They see that there are so many outstanding variables, so many outstanding pieces to the calculus that puts together their financial life, that they say, well, if I do this, then maybe this would happen and maybe this would happen. And I heard from this person that this could happen if I do this, that they just say, forget it, I'll do nothing. Is that a healthy way to build your financial life? Is that a healthy standard to set for your children to show them how to act financially responsible? What are you going to do? Are you prepared to provide yourself, your family, the financial stability and security that you'll need as you move into various stages in your life? What happens when the paycheck stops? Meaning, that doesn't mean you're getting fired. What happens when you say, I don't want to work anymore? I want to rely on my Social Security check, my potential pension check, distributions from my investment accounts. Does it mean I have to take my interest and dividends only? What does it mean to take a required minimum distribution? What is my tax bracket? Do I understand taxes the way I think I understand them? Well, taxes, hey, that's another story for another day. But most people don't quite understand what their tax liability is. Someone came to the office this past week and they said, Mark, I spend so much in taxes, I need to fix this up. I said, what do you mean? He says, I owed the state $1,000. I said, wow, that seems like a large amount of money to owe the state. Did you have a special dividend or something that wasn't withheld? No, he says, it's been the same thing for the past couple of years. I said, I don't understand. He told me that he gets a pension of $24,000. I said, what's the state tax withholding on your pension? He said, oh, I don't have state tax withholdings on my pension. I was told I didn't need it. Well, 5% on $24,000 is a little bit more than $1,000. Had he had state tax withholding, he wouldn't owe money to the state. And then he says to me, oh, but the federal government, I owe $300. That's a lot of money in paying taxes. I usually get a refund. Folks, if you can get your taxes down to owing $500 or getting back $500, you've managed your taxes well. If you're expecting a refund of $5,000 or $7,000 or $10,000, or you owe $5,000 or $7,000 or $10,000 in a normal tax year, you're doing something wrong with your tax withholdings. Understand, when you file your tax return, it's fixing a checks and balance system. It's not your accountant's fault. It's not your financial advisor's fault. It's an understanding of what it is and providing all the information about what you're having withheld. Because it's easy enough to plan and project what your refund or the amount that you owe will be come tax time if all of the information is disclosed. All of these pieces of advice that I'm providing to you today, this is what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. We're going to continue to do this as we continue on in our show. But before I head off to a break, and we're just going to have a short little final segment, I want to remind you about our newsletter that we put out each and every Friday. It's called Planning Pointers. It lands in your mailbox every Friday, 10:30 in the morning. 7,000 plus subscribers sign up to it, and it's filled with financial advice in a language you can understand, news you can use, actions you can take, steps you can implement right now to get your financial plan heading down the right path. And let's keep that going. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It is the middle of June, and we are heading into hopefully a great summer ahead of us. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante. Hope you're having a wonderful Sunday morning. Hope lots of things you get to do. It's a beautiful day today. Get out, really enjoy this weather. And tell your kids, get out of bed and get outside. Man, they spend a lot of time inside, don't they? Enjoy this wonderful weather. Teach them how to ride a bike. Get them in the pool. Take them for a walk. Go hiking. Take them to an amusement park. Go walk the Charles River. Go jump in the beach. Whatever you want to do, get outside. This is beautiful weather. We spend way too much time in our house in the fall and the winter. Let's get outside today. Yeah, I'm a bit clouded today. It's, you know, this pollen, though. from all of the blooming stuff that's going on around the trees. It does raise the allergies, and it leaves a layer of greenness or yellowness on our cars and everywhere else. But it's a reminder that this is the kind of weather that I really like. I want to get out there and be part of it, but sometimes you have to adjust yourself with the pollen and the allergies that are out there, but enjoy it. Nevertheless, though, it's time to celebrate. It's time to really enjoy what you've worked so hard to do, is to save money, to put dollars aside, to prepare for your future and enjoy this weekend if your job allows you to work on the weekends. I'm here to tell you that we need to do a better job preparing for our financial future, because there's no one here to support us anymore. There's no longer guaranteed pensions for everybody. Social Security isn't the solution. You're going to need to spend money the way you want to spend money, and certainly not the way your kids want to spend money, because as you well know, how many children do you know that are in their 30s and 40s that are making far more money than you ever made when they were that age, when you were that age, or even the age that you're at now? I can't tell you how many of my friends' kids who were in their 20s and 30s are making more money than my friends are who are in their 50s right now. Yet what's really amazing to me is that those kids that are making more money can't seem to figure out how to save any money. In fact, they can't even figure out how to pay for daycare. They think it's appropriate to reach out to mom and dad to let them be the daycare because they don't want to spend the money for daycare. Yet they'll take the free services that you provide as a parent. Is that what life was like when you were a kid? Now, I'm not saying we need to replicate what our life was like generations before, but I think there needs to be some understanding that our children need to participate in the financial responsibilities of bringing up a family, of raising a family, and you as parents should be celebrated and rewarded for raising and developing children who have the wherewithal to support their lifestyle on their own. And if they're overspending, if they're overdoing it, we can't continue to step in to say, oh, keep doing that. Don't worry. We'll fill in the back. We'll backfill for you. Because I see all too many people in their 60s and 70s believing that they have to limit what they do in retirement so that their kids can have a better life. Now, look, there is always going to be that generation of families whose children may be the first to graduate high school or the first to graduate college. But that segment of the population is getting smaller and smaller, folks. We are a generation of people, certainly here in New England, where it's third, fourth, fifth generation of people who have graduated college. They have jobs. You have jobs. It's not our job to support them. They have enough money to support themselves. Could you imagine them supporting you? What will your life be like in retirement? How will you spend it? What is it that you want to do? You know, I've been encouraging many people, our retired clients, and if we'd like to come visit with us and learn more about how we can help you find that financial success route that allows you to live life to its fullest based upon the dollars that you've been able to accumulate and dollars that will continue to come into your household, I'd love to meet with you. But more and more of our clients, I'm finding, have built up so much in resources that if they don't spend more, their children will become so wealthy in the decades to follow that these children may not feel so, they may not have that ambition to continue to work so hard because they'll have so much other money that they won't even want to, they're going to want to look for work-life balance. They'll say, well, I got this other money. Maybe I only need to work 20 hours just to keep myself satisfied and busy. And what kind of impression does that give to the generation after that and after that? Because folks, the rich, and you don't want to consider yourselves rich, but look, if you've got a net worth of $1 million or $2 million or more than that, including your house, you're part of what are called the rich. I know you don't feel that way, but you're part of it. You're part of it. And your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren are going to benefit financially from that. And there is this diversion in income. There is inequity right now. There are people getting richer and people that can't get started. But what are we doing to make sure that you make the most out of your life? When you travel, are you traveling still on budget prices? Or are you willing to spend more for luxuries, for services, for benefits? I'll tell you, your kids who are 20 and 30 years old, they don't think twice about paying for luxuries and services and benefits. But here, the 50, 60, 70-year-old is still sitting in line at Costco, waiting to save 20 cents a gallon. While the kids are ordering DoorDash, they're going on vacations, they're traveling on airplanes, they're leasing cars, they're buying new cars and new vehicles and new clothes. They are getting used to that, and you are shortchanging yourselves. While the kids are enjoying the fruits of all of your work, and you're not allowing yourself to celebrate. My advice to you today is to figure out a way for you to build an exceptional experience for you, perhaps for your children and your grandchildren. Maybe it's a trip to Disney World, to Costa Rica, to South Africa, to Canada, or just to New York City to see a couple shows. Expose your children to what life is like as a family, to celebrate meals together, to celebrate theater together, going to the beach together, and tell them to leave the phone in the hotel room. One of the things that I'm looking forward to, I'm going on an Alaskan cruise this summer. One of the things that I heard about the Alaskan cruise is the cell service, the Wi-Fi service, is really bad. And I'm so excited. I'm so excited that my kids are going to spend more time with me, that I'm going to spend more time with my kids, that we're not going to sit around the dinner table with our phones in our faces, just killing time, playing games, looking on Instagram, listening to TikTok. We're going to talk. We're going to explore. We're going to learn stuff together. We're going to find the best in all of us. It's up to us as parents to shake this problem that we've all created by allowing our children to be so sucked into technology, convenience, paying for services that they could certainly do on their own. Let's recreate this. Let's set everything up so that we can get our children to appreciate what we've been able to do for them. And you can appreciate what you can learn from your children. I'll tell you, I learned so much from my kids. For a while, I think I was a little snobbish, and I didn't want to listen carefully. But when it comes to humanitarian items, when it comes to social justice, when it comes to just hanging out and listening to what the dialogue is of our children today compared to what I grew up with, I'm learning. I might not necessarily adapt all of it to my lifestyle, but I'm really proud of my kids for seeing things differently and being able to talk about it responsibly and us allowing ourselves to have conversations where we don't yell and scream at each other, but we respect everybody's opinion. We got to put the phone away, folks. We got to find time with our kids and our grandkids. You have the financial resources to do it. If you don't know how to plan for it, give us a call. Let us help. Let us show you how we have helped more than 550 families today in our office. Find a pathway towards retirement that fits their needs. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, I hope you'll give us a call, because now is a great time to get started. Our phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. You can also learn more information about who we are, what we do, what we charge, how we operate, all of that stuff. It's free. It's on the web. FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to ease in a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of, you can read any tab you want, but if you want to go to the bottom of any page on our website, you can sign up for our free newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It lands in your inbox 10:30 every Friday. We've been sending it, believe it or not, since March of 2009. Haven't missed a week yet. Join the 7,000 subscribers. Reach out to us, 978-531-8108. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, I'd love to talk with you. But until then, I got to get out of here. We'll be back again next week with more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning in to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planning planner, tax professional, or attorney prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, and SIPC.
Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan, a plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now is the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, and SIPC.